Hello and welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 2, episode 7, back on our weekly Tuesday. I'm Thomas Parkman, as always, joined by my co-host Thomas Coburn. What's going on?
How are you? New setup this week for both of us. So yep. Hopefully you guys enjoy what we hope is better audio, but we'll see. Only time will tell.
Look at you in the background there. We got
I had to set up the jerseys after the big win.
Within a week, I've seen you become from cheering for the Lions to lose. Now you're in my ear almost every second telling me why you're going to go on this unbelievable run.
Unbelievable run. 8-3 by Thanksgiving. Here we go.
This is just...
Predicated we win this weekend against producer Paul Gismondi's Colts.
Producer Paul Gismondi's Colts, which I'm hearing strong rumors that he's considering ditching the Colts altogether and just becoming a full-blown Steelers fan just because of his love for Chase Claypool. He wouldn't come on the camera today, but he is wearing a Chase Claypool jersey, I can confirm. So
a Steelers one, not a Notre Dame.
Yes, exactly. So we have that to start off the show today. Quickly from last night, and I'm just so happy. I'm always happy when I'm right. I don't know if you noticed this, but I'm even happier when I'm right on national television because the Bears showed up last night, primetime game, and they were awful. And I've been saying it from the beginning. I'm not buying these guys. I said they're frauds, and look who's laughing now.
Start Mitch back. You got to bring him back after that performance. No. I think you just stick with Foles. Either way, their offense is below average, like, and it's not even close. But, I mean, yeah, they scored one touchdown, and it was – Eddie Jackson
on the defensive touchdown.
Yeah, right. It was Eddie Jackson, right?
Yeah. Scoop and score. It's like I said this about Foles. I said he'll come in, he'll give the team a spark, but once that magic runs out, which it inevitably will, because the maximum amount of time that Foles has truly been great is what, a 4-game stretch
with the Eagles, yeah.
And it was probably the most important 4 games of his life and the most important 4 games of the season. And
it's probably also one of the best 4-game stretches of any quarterback.
Exactly.
Ever,
but yeah. But it's just like we've seen it before with Foles. You know, I love the guy. He's a great story, but I don't know. I'm not buying these Bears as a true playoff contender, but I think we are going to get into the topic of playoff contenders later into today's show. We do have a lot to discuss, and I thought it would be great to kick it off. A week ago, when we did this podcast, neither Antonio Brown or Dez Bryant were on an NFL roster.
And there were no rumors either.
Yeah, Dez was starting to, Wednesday or Thursday, he started to heat up with this practice squad. I can't remember the day, to be honest, but this Antonio Brown one came out of nowhere. I think it was Friday night, the Antonio Brown. It just seemed like, oh, he's talking to the Bucs. Then it was, he's visiting the facility on Saturday and he may sign. Half an hour later, it was Antonio Brown is signed with the Bucs.
But even before that, everybody was like Seahawks.
Yeah, exactly.
Came out like Seahawks are probably going to get him, whatever, and that was going to be crazy. And then it's like he was silently or quietly talking to the Bucks out of nowhere, him and Brady back together.
Yeah, Brady seems to be – I don't think I've ever seen a wide receiver that Brady loves more than Antonio Brown.
They played one game together.
Yeah. I was actually reading up on it. Apparently, they had some legendary practices.
Okay.
They only played one game together. It was against Miami last year, and I remember it very well. But apparently...
I believe they scored 43 points.
I think it was 43-0 was the final score.
Something like that, yeah.
That's one to remember for me. But apparently the two just made a mess in practice, and Brady's just almost infatuated with this idea of Antonio Brown. And the craziest part about this is... Bruce Arians in March was quoted saying, I don't think he's a fit in this locker room. I think he called him a diva. You know how Bruce Arians is. He tells it how it is.
And Antonio Brown went at him on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. And now
it just seems like Brady has really been, he must have been pushing for this for a long time. And Bruce Arians has made it very clear. He said, just this past weekend, he made a comment, something along the lines of, he made an example of, you know, how Antonio Brown needs to act in this Bucs locker room. He said, Mike Evans didn't catch a pass until the fourth quarter in their blowout win over the Raiders. But he just wants to win. He doesn't care if he's getting the ball. He just wants to win every week. And he said, if Antonio Brown can't be like that, then he's going to be out of here.
He said so one mistake and he's gone.
Yeah. So, but seems but like a short fair, leash. Bruce Arians and Brady didn't exactly get out onto the right foot in the media after the Bucs week one game. Arians pretty much blamed everything on Brady. And now the two are working out. So maybe I think Arians just doesn't know how to articulate his words in press conferences. And a lot of the times it looks like it's just, oof, that looks like a tough situation. But I don't know. What do you think? I don't know if it's silly to ask who you think is going to be the more impactful signing.
I mean, you have to assume Antonio Brown. But then at the same, in the same thought, I mean, like Dez Bryant, if he ends up on the Ravens, he'll probably have better numbers than Antonio Brown. He's on the practice
Ravens
squad.
The Ravens are starving for a wide receiver, whereas the Bucs probably have the best duo in the entire NFL already.
And look at their tight ends.
Exactly. Gronk, I know OJ Howard's injured and he's out for the season, but they still have Cameron Brait.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
Scotty Miller, it's so amazing how Brady always finds his Edelman, his Amendola, his Wes Welker, and now the Scotty Miller guy is just emerging, which is just, it's so, and it's crazy to see how the Pats are doing now. But yeah, like you said, Dez Bryant is only on that practice squad. So it's not even a guarantee that he's going to play, but I got to think the way the Ravens are going, and we talked about it on last week's podcast, if they don't fix their offensive troubles this upcoming week against the Steelers, that game's going to get ugly. So I do think Dez Bryant will feature much sooner rather than later.
And I picked him up in fantasy, so I'm all aboard the Dez train.
He's a hawk.
I missed
AB
though. Missed Antonio Brown. That was a huge pickup. That's my initial thought when I saw that he got the Buccaneers signed. I was devastated. I traded for Mike Evans that same week. I also traded for Odell. So it's been a tough fantasy football week for me.
But before you
make right.
everyone feel bad for you, I want you to say on this podcast how you won this past weekend. And also, I'd like some sort of reference to your points for on the season and your standings.
Let's pull it up. I'm going to pull it up right now because we can't hear you.
Because it's embarrassing.
I'll pull it up on my phone.
And struggles to win every week, to watch you win in the way you did, It was disgusting. I'll say that. It was a detriment to fantasy football.
So I currently sit at 4-3. It's a 12-team league, half point PPR for everybody wondering all that. So I'm in sixth place. I'm 4-3. Eight teams make the playoffs in our thing.
So you're comfortably sitting in the playoffs.
Well, not comfortably, but I'm in the playoffs. I am last in points for.
In the entire league.
In the entire league with 648. That is 52 lower than 11th place.
Yep.
So, I mean, okay, to be fair, I did draft Saquon and I drafted obviously now Odell. I mean, my team's just been ravaged with injuries, but I do have Claypool. So
it just makes everything okay. You have Chase Claypool. Okay.
Yeah, and Claypool has to come up once a week on the podcast somehow. So there's his mention for this
week.
This
is the second time we brought him up, just so you know.
We already brought him up once. Yes, we did.
We talked about Paul's jersey.
Yeah. All right. So this week I won 88. I had 88.6 points and I won. And my opponent had 88.46.
Just the rule of thumb that I go by. If you get less than 100 points in fantasy and you win, it's undeserving. It's lucky. Yeah.
It's a lucky win. I totally agree. But here's the thing. Going into Monday night, I was up 9 points.
Sunday night.
Monday night, nobody played in each team. So my team's all done. They've all played. Sunday night football, I'm up 9 points, and my opponent has Kenyon Drake and Chris Carson. And they both get – like, when Kenyon Drake goes down, he's – I think – how many yards
three,
away?
It was he, 3 yards he's, away from winning.
He's, well, Point to three. Winning – yeah. He's 4 yards away from beating me.
Yeah.
He needs 4 yards. And he goes down. And I mean, like, I felt bad because whatever. You don't want to see him get injured. But I just started laughing. I was like, you can't make this up. So I moved to 4-3, one game above 500. And here we are.
And the worst part is that game even went into overtime too. So even if you managed to squeak it out and survive regulation, they still would have gotten an extra 10 minutes to make up those yards and still beat you. So
and my one last thing, the three highest scoring players on my team, Stafford with 18 points, Prater with 15 points, and Chiefs defense with 24. My
carried team, by
nobody else did anything. And a kicker. Yeah.
That is just,
it's not how you win. It's not how you win. It's just about.
But you know what? You're winning games, and exactly. I can't say that about my own team. It's just been. I don't even want to get into it. It's embarrassing for the former champion. You know what? I'll use this as a segue into our next topic. I know the Patriots didn't win the Super Bowl last year, but I am experiencing a Patriots type plummet to just being a joke in the NFL. And I know you were so high on the Patriots, and I'm not completely writing them off saying that they won't make the playoffs, but what I saw last weekend,
not good. The last 2 weeks
at home to the 49ers, who in their own respect, they're suffering from injuries too. I just this Patriots team and the Bills in the AFC East, they don't look too good either. And I know you know this because you picked them to cover against the Jets and they barely won that game. So I'm looking, and I don't want to be too much of a homer here, but those Dolphins with Tua stepping in, that division is wide open.
What's more ridiculous? You thinking that the Dolphins are going to have a decent shot at the division, or me thinking the Lions are going to be 8-3 at Thanksgiving?
I think you think the Lions are going to go on this dramatic run. You're forgetting that in week two,
barring they win this week, the Colts,
they lost by maybe 21 points to the Packers. It was definitely three scores.
It was an off game.
Yeah. Those all happen. Yeah. Totally understandable. Whereas the Dolphins, the Bills have looked like a different team from what we saw in the first 3 weeks when Josh Allen was getting all this MVP hype. The Patriots look like a CFL team could give them a run right now. They might have a quarterback controversy on their hands in the coming weeks. And the Dolphins are sitting here having come so close against both those teams. They're playing great right now. They got a new quarterback coming in this week, which I'll say once again, beyond excited to watch this Sunday. And then there's the Jets, who we still play. Don't forget, that's another win.
Wow. The Jets looked pretty good last week.
They did. and I think they might shock a lot of people. I'm not even going to say that this week. But on the note of the Jets, news came out today that Quinnen Williams, their third overall pick from a year ago, is being shopped.
He's good. Why would the Jets want him?
that's very true. But I don't understand it at all, because I think he's 21, like, he's ridiculously young. He's young for a second year player. I don't know how trading him makes this team better, and like at all.
Unless you, I mean, if you can get a first, maybe. But are you going to use a first on somebody that could potentially be better than him? And it's like, well, who knows? But also, it's like nobody on that defense. It's not he's if he was on a good defensive line, like in terms of the whole group, and he still wasn't producing, maybe I can see that. But when he doesn't have anybody around him to distract him, it's like defenses, they can just take him right out of the game.
And it's not like, I mean, a year ago, the Dolphins traded Minka Fitzpatrick, and he's turned out to be an all pro, or at least a Pro Bowl caliber safety for a great defense in the Steelers. And you look at that move and say, why move this guy? He's in his second year. He just picked him in the first round a year ago. But Minka specified that he wanted a trade. This is a situation where, or at least to our knowledge, Quinnen Williams hasn't said anything. It's just, I don't understand the direction that this Jets team is going in. I think with each second that they keep Adam Gase as head coach, it's just becoming harder and harder to turn this boat around. And this weekend against the Chiefs, we both agree on this. We talked about this earlier, that Le'Veon Bell, Andy Reid is just going to feed him the ball like we've never seen before. He only had six carries this weekend. Multiply that by at least 15. Five.
He's going to get 15 at least.
I'm calling 30 over here. I think they're just going to say, you know what, we're going to win this game. We can win this game with our reserves against these guys. Let's just create a nice storyline here and get Le'Veon Bell some touchdowns against his old coach.
Yeah, at this point, the Chiefs are so good, and it doesn't even matter that they can just choose who has a good game.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Mahomes, you want to go off this game? All right, air it out.
Tyreek, seemed like that in week one against the Texans with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because we haven't really seen him get that much volume in any other game. A couple weeks ago against the Bills, he was pretty effective. But like this past weekend, they won by
a monster TD run, though.
Yeah.
Where he broke through, I think, one or two guys, yeah.
This past weekend, they put up, 42 points, 41 points?
Something like that.
Against the Broncos on the road in the snow. And if you look at them on the offensive side of the ball, they didn't really have anyone really pop off your screen statistically. So it's amazing what the Chiefs are doing. It's amazing how bad the Jets are. We kind of talked about the highs and the lows of the NFL here. But I want to get into something that I think could be extremely interesting as we go down the season, and that's these wild card teams, especially with the added spot here in both conferences. I know that's why you're more than confident that the Lions are going to get over the line and get into the playoffs.
I wouldn't say more than confident,
but in all honesty, there are a lot of teams who have gotten off to great starts. There are a lot of teams who look like playoff potential, but haven't really been able to find that consistency. Who do you see taking home all three? Well, we might as well do all three of the wild card spots in each conference.
Okay, AFC. I mean, now with the third, it's really tough. I mean, AFC's, I feel like it's a little bit more clear cut than the NFC, because you have the Ravens or Steelers are guaranteed that's going to be one of them.
Yeah.
So there'll be one. I'm not going to argue who's going to win the division.
You're going to pick one. I'm making you pick one.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Ravens. Okay. Sure. The Ravens are one. They're the first wild card. The second wild card, I'm just looking at the teams. I don't want to forget anybody. The second would be.
There's teams like the Raiders in there.
But yeah, I know.
Even
that's
the Colts that are just not been able to be consistent.
There's the Colts. When you look at it, there's the Colts, there's the Raiders. I mean, is it crazy to say there's the Chargers?
I think the Chargers are a great team.
Not there yet.
Not a great team, but I think they're a good team. They're much better than their record suggests.
Right.
And when you have Justin Herbert, he's throwing for 300 yards every game. They're going to be in every game. I don't think they have the pieces yet for them to win consistently, and they have too much ground to make up already. So
all right,
I'm
so then
ruling out the Chargers.
I'll lock in Ravens, Colts, and Raiders. How about you?
So you're dropping the Brownies.
Yeah.
And even I know how high you were on the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
one game.
Cam has really. I've lost a lot of faith.
You lost a lot of faith in Cam.
Well, also it could change. Like if they trade for a big receiver at the deadline, that could change things. But as of right now, I think they'll miss it.
That's the thing about the Patriots. The main reason why Brady left, or one of the reasons why, is because he was constantly asking for weapons and they just wouldn't give it to him. Last year at the deadline, they went out and got Mohamed Sanu, which we all thought was going to be a great move. He's not only off the Patriots, I think he spent time in San Francisco earlier this year and they already released him as well. So that just tells you how much that move made an impact. I mean, there's guys I think personally an AJ Green will be available at the deadline.
He has to be. You would think the Bengals are not competing.
That being said, Cam Newton, the last 2 weeks, what he's shown, I don't think it's going to matter if he has this great, not even great receiver, but a little bit more help, because his pocket presence has just looked so poor. His accuracy has looked non-existent. He's missing easy throws. And I called him my QB 32 last week. I think I'm going to make this a weekly segment on the podcast, because he's winning QB 32 again this week. He was brutal against the 49ers, and that's a banged up 49ers defense, as I said before. So I'm going to drop New England you did. I think they still play the Jets twice. So that's going to help a little bit. This is just turning into an all-out just a beat down on the Jets this episode. But
who can get wins against the Jets?
Let's see. Let's look at the Jets schedule. I don't know. Do you think they're going to win a game?
I think they will. I think they'll win a meaningless one at the end. Like, remember when the Browns won? It's like it
against the Chargers. Yeah, it does. It's so hard not to win a game. It's just like one team's going to overlook you. But back on track here. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to drop the Patriots.
Okay.
Of course, I'm going to have the Ravens locked in. I think the Browns, this is tough. They have Odell Beckham Jr. out, but I think Nick Chubb will be back in a couple weeks. I think they're a better – Chubb is more important to this team than Odell is. I think that's fair to say. So I'm going to keep the Browns on a winning note. And this leaves my final spot because there's the Colts, like you mentioned. There's the Raiders. And I'm going to have to mention the Dolphins in there, but I don't think they're going to ultimately have enough. I think they're going to be around the 7-8 win range with Tua. So I am going to say, yeah, it's going to have to be the Colts for me. It just seems like the extra playoff team in the AFC, a bad team is going to get in. Whereas in the NFC, it's like, there's going to be maybe a good team missing out. That just speaks to the difference in
but the NFC, there's a guaranteed horrible team that's going to make it.
Don't even get me started. We're not even going there.
But quickly, I'd like to retract my statement. I just looked at the Browns' schedule. They're making it.
Like, it's very winnable going forward.
I mean, okay, so games that they have left, they have the Texans, they have the Jaguars, they have the Giants, they have the Jets, and they have the Eagles. I think the Eagles, they could definitely lose that game, but they're going to make the playoffs.
We'll see.
So I'll take out the Colts because they're going to lose this weekend to the Lions. The Colts are out.
It's amazing to see how quickly an opinion can change on Baker Mayfield. I don't know how closely you were paying attention to their game. Maybe you were because of the Odell news on this past weekend. But he started off that game 0-for-5 with an interception. And obviously that's the interception is the play that Odell Beckham Jr. tore his ACL on. I think he ended 22 of 28 and 5 passing touchdowns. So he had one incompletion for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And now this stat line, 5 minutes into the game, there were tweets. Baker Mayfield, the Browns are going to move on from him. It's a Trubisky-type situation. He's a bust. He's holding this team back. And then he emerges as the hero that threw 5 touchdowns.
And one with 11 seconds left, I believe.
Yes. Right. Very clutch. Yeah. Is he as good of a quarterback as that 5-touchdown performance? I don't think so. Is he as bad of a quarterback as that 0-5, one interception start? I also don't think so. But Baker's going to bring a lot of good and a lot of bad. And that keeps the Browns a mystery every week. Like you said, that game against the Eagles, I could very easily seeing the Eagles take that one.
I think Baker's a case of if you're playing a bad team, you're not losing. Like he's good enough to beat bad teams, but is he good enough to beat average to good teams? That's when I think it starts to get iffy.
Yeah.
But you want to move on to the NFC?
Yeah.
All right.
NFC, like we said, the NFC East is completely, it's dead to me. I don't know if you remember my spread picks last week. I didn't pick this team, but I said, I may go with the Eagles against the spread. They didn't cover, thank goodness. And now I finally learned I'm not touching the NFC East anymore.
Even if it's against each other?
Well,
that might change it. Oh, that's true. Yeah, what am I saying? All right.
I mean, last week, that's the only reason they won is because they all four teams played against each other.
That's true.
Anyways, let's talk about the good teams, or at least.
Okay, the almost good teams, let's say.
Yes.
All right, making the playoffs out of the NFC, or would you like to go first? You can go first.
You know what? All of a thing. That's so kind of you. All of a crack.
I'm very polite. Yeah, there you go.
So in terms of wild card, I guess I'll establish my division winners first. And I'm, to no surprise, Seahawks, Packers, and the Bucks. I have coming through. I think the Bucks have risen above, and they're a much better team than the Saints. They've surprised me there. I'll admit it. That's where I'm wrong. I thought the Saints were going to look a lot better this year, and they've disappointed. The wild card. The Bears have such a great start that it's almost hard for them to not make the playoffs now. That being said, I think this loss against the Rams, especially because the Rams are going to be a team pushing for wild card, and that may or may not be a tiebreaker. Well,
exactly. Now they do have the tiebreaker. Yeah.
So I'm going to drop the Bears, and I'll gladly drop them and say that all along they're frauds. I called them out at 3-0, and now everyone's finally jumping on the ship. But so I'm going to have the Rams making it in, the Cardinals as well, back two NFC West teams. And I think it's going to come down to the 49ers and the Saints. I think the 49ers are the better football team. Potentially, if Michael Thomas can come back, maybe that can elevate Drew Brees. But, you know, the 49ers have some pieces that if they're back too, they're a better football team. I'll close it off with this. I'm going to pick the 49ers to make the playoffs, and I'm going to say that the Saints miss out. But it's all going to depend on how far Jimmy Garoppolo can carry this team. He wasn't that great this past weekend. So I'm going to need to see him start playing a little bit better.
Yeah. All right. Well, similar, but, you know, just a little bit different because the Lions have to be in here. I have belief. They're back. I think the Cardinals are missing the playoffs.
Really?
Yeah.
After what you saw on Sunday?
Yeah, because everybody plays like that against Seattle.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, look at the Vikings.
The Vikings did that. The Dolphins lost by one score.
Exactly.
The Cowboys lost by one score, too.
With Dak, but yes. Yeah. But yeah, so everybody Seattle makes teams look good, except they're just better almost all the time at the end, and then they beat you.
Interesting stat about Seattle. Jamal Adams leads the team in sacks despite missing. Oh boy, it's been the past 3-4 weeks now that he's missed with that groin. He injured his groin week 3 against the Cowboys, so he's missed from week 3 onward, and he leads the team in sacks.
Yeah, that's...
That is embarrassing.
That's scary. You think just with a couple blitzes here and there, you got to get one. Got to get a couple there. Okay, so I'm going to go... The first wild card seed, I think, is going to be the 49ers.
You got them as the first wild card seed?
Yes. Wow. I have them as the first.
So you really have them turning it around over here.
Yeah, I do. 49ers, then I'll go Rams, and then I'll go Lions.
You're seriously going to put the Lions in?
I'm going to put them there. I have to.
Just for fun.
I have to.
So you have the Cardinals. You know what? Tiebreaker. Lions.
That's why. And that's what I was about to say. That is why I don't think the Cardinals make the playoffs, because I could very easily see them ending same record, but the Lions beat them. So they have that tiebreaker. And I don't think the Lions are particularly good. I just think that if they can pull off a win this weekend, they're at home against the Colts. I think that's a winnable game. I mean, it's by no means, or they're underdogs, but by no means is it, they're not going to win. If they win, if you look at their schedule, it really opens up. And I think they're similar to the Browns, where they play so many bad teams coming up, or they have so many, I'm not going to say bad teams, they have so many winnable games that they're kind of just going to back into the playoffs. I don't think they're good. I think they're going to lose whoever they play. They'll get blown out probably in the playoffs.
Unless they play by your standards.
They won't. It'll be the Niners.
The NFC East. But I mean, I think I'm higher on the Lions than most people are, just because I think when you have Matthew Stafford, it gives you the ability to be in every game. And like you saw against the Falcons, he's capable of winning in the clutch. But that being said, I know they had this big come from behind win, but if Todd Gurley doesn't fall into the end zone there, what's your record now? 3-3?
Yep.
So you're a 2-4 football team. Playoffs are an afterthought. And I think you're back on the mindset of, let's tank for Trevor Lawrence, even though...
If the Lions lose this weekend, they need to lose every single game the rest of the way. It's over. There's no point. But so if they win this weekend, we're back.
The season's on the line for the Lions this weekend. It
is. The season has been on the line against the Jags, against the Falcons, and now it's been on the line every single game. And it's still on the line this week.
At least you're going to get a entertaining game every time the Lions take the field.
Yep.
And a positive to look at, Matthew Stafford's probably one of the best quarterbacks amongst teams that are playing, pushing towards the playoffs in the NFC. I take him over Drew Brees right now. I think him and Kyler Murray, it's a bit of a toss up, but just because of experience, and Stafford's far more consistent. Just because Kyler Murray played this Sunday night on primetime in one of the most entertaining games, people are forgetting Kyler Murray a week ago had a 33% completion percentage against one of the worst defenses in the NFL in the Cowboys. So
I think it's partly he's putting up great fantasy numbers and stuff, yeah. But yeah, there is inconsistency there.
This year.
Yeah.
He has 7 rushing touchdowns this year, which is leads the NFL tied for the lead. But I don't agree with you that the Cardinals aren't going to make the playoffs, but I also think people should pump the brakes on them a little bit because they did beat the Seahawks, yes, and the Seahawks were undefeated. But we both agreed before that the Seahawks are so reliant on Russell Wilson that the moment he slips up, and we saw him slip up on Sunday night throwing 3 interceptions, they're going to lose. And that's exactly what happened.
The thought of the 49ers, quickly, I just want to say this. The thought of the 49ers winning the division, I don't even see that as out of the realm of possibility. They still have to play the Seahawks twice. And if they're healthy, they may just steamroll them. Because their offensive line and defensive line, it's just the biggest mismatch.
Yeah, that's very true. They do need to get a little bit healthier, in my opinion. But those divisional games are going to be so, so important. And to me, it's disappointing because I think the 49ers play the Seahawks this upcoming week. When you have a game like that, it's a 4:05 or 4:25 time. And then the Sunday night football game is the Cowboys and the Eagles. It's just like, come on, NFL, do us
flex
a favor.
It, come on, do
us
it,
a favor and move these games around. You know what? I'll take another. I complained about Tuesday night football a week ago just because it messed up my scheduling. I'll take a Tuesday night game.
Tuesday night.
To have some prime time, a little more prime time NFC West.
Listen, Cowboys Eagles could be good. Ben DiNucci?
I think
who knows?
It could be a good game.
That's his name, right? Did I just make that up? Okay. Yeah.
So there's two high profile rookies making their first career NFL starts this weekend. Ben DiNucci. And of course, Tua Tagovailoa.
Who's better?
I think pressure's on for Tua. If he doesn't outperform DiNucci,
and DiNucci
he's gonna have some questions
shines
to
on Sunday night
in prime time.
Oh, you can't. Joe Buck, he's going to be calling, right? No, he doesn't. Joe Buck does Fox.
It's calling
NBC.
Yeah.
Now here's a guy.
Yeah.
Now here's a guy.
Who knows
Ben DiNucci.
How to throw the rock around?
Yeah.
I don't know, but. Some interesting picks. Obviously, the Lions. I don't think anyone's going to agree with you.
Maybe Lions,
maybe fans. Maybe Lions fans. Exactly.
The organization quickly. It's so sad that like they're posting videos of fans reacting to the win. Like the Lions social media and everybody's going nuts. It's like that was to move to 500.
Yeah. Hey, a win's a win. Come on. You should have seen me reacting 2 weekends ago to a 7-yard completion on Tua's first drive. It was like we won the Super Bowl. So, you know what? When it's your team, it's your team. And I can understand you boosting the Lions a bit. As I was, at least I gave the Dolphins a little bit of respect. I put them in the in the hunt category,
If Dolphins win this weekend, are they making the playoffs?
If we win this week against the Rams, it's one of our hardest games left all season. I think we have the Rams at home and we have the Chiefs at home later on. But if we win, we're at 4-3. I think we're on track to at least really, really push for wild card spot.
Yeah, especially if the Browns can mess up a couple times on those games that I said they would win. Which is possible. It's a very Browns thing to do.
Like this weekend, I was watching that game like a hawk towards the end, just because of how the Bengals were playing and Joe Burrow was moving the ball and they were up ahead late. And I was just so disappointed when I saw that Baker got that final touchdown. I mean, I have to learn, much like the NFC East, you can't count on the Bengals for anything.
They should have 2 wins in a row.
The Bengals.
Yeah.
The Colts are really starting to worry me. They're really... Joe Burrow, I think, is looking more and more like Matt Stafford every single day. From a career trajectory.
Okay, sure. Yeah. If the Bengals do nothing, like the Lions do nothing.
Like
yes.
It's very, very early, but just like point to one area where I can really say, like, wow, this is exciting about the Bengals roster.
Wide receivers.
Other than Joe Burrow. T. Higgins has looked good. AJ Green, not so much. Tyler Boyd, yeah, but I mean, I guess he's still kind of young, but that offensive line.
They have weapons on offense, but yeah, you're right. Like the offensive
Joe Mixon
line.
This season? Yeah. I've been trying to trade him in fantasy for weeks. I hope no one in our league is listening to this when I say that, but man.
Can't get going.
No, But yeah, that's a bit off topic here. We go from talking about the NFC wild card hunt to why the Bengals are going to fail Joe Burrow. But it's our favorite time of the episode.
Everybody's favorite. Everybody's favorite segment.
And that's the spread picks. And
recap last week, quick.
Recap last week. You went into last week scorching hot. Scorching hot.
Six in a row.
Like crazy. This guy's on a roll. And you ended up with a 500. Would you say it's a disappointing 500? I think you were lucky to you had the Chargers squeeze it out at the very end to cover that spread.
I was confident in the Chargers. I knew they were going to win. I knew it was going 500 after the Bills kind of fell apart. You know what? To be honest, when we were picking, I don't believe the Saints Panthers spread was out.
Yeah.
Was it? Wait, are you saying yes?
I don't remember.
Okay, yeah, I don't think it was because I remember seeing that spread later in the week, and I was like, "That's the easiest spread ever." The Panthers were, it was 7.5, and I was like, "They always keep it close against the Saints." But anyways, yeah,
I was much like that. Sunday came around last week, and I was watching the Packers and the Texans, and for whatever reason, I kept saying like, "Oh, great, the Packers are up. I'm covering," because I just felt like the Packers spread was too good to be true because that game screamed blowout. The Packers needed to make a statement after getting embarrassed to the Bucs. Around 4 o'clock comes around, and I realize I didn't pick the Packers at all. I picked the Chiefs and the Seahawks on Sunday night tonight. So I was also 1-1. You brought this up earlier to me, and I think we both agreed that this is a great idea. I think being able to say you were 500 on the weekend is a little too, like, I don't know. It doesn't add enough excitement. So you gave the brilliant idea that going forward, we'll pick three games.
But this week, we're still picking
this
two.
This week will be the last week of two games.
Picks. Yeah.
And then next week is officially week 9. So it's the back 9 of the NFL season. Things really start to heat up. So we're going to also have to do this with our spread picks. We've had 8 weeks to learn how to pick two games pretty effectively. We're going to start picking three next week.
By next year, we're going to be picking the full board.
Yeah. Give me all 16 games every week. Yeah. But no, we've been doing pretty well. I think you are, what, 7-3?
I'm 7-3, and you're 6-4.
And I'm 6-4, so I'm 1 game back. I was really hoping. When that Cardinals-Seahawks game went into overtime, I was so happy because that gave the Seahawks the opportunity to get a touchdown and win by 6.
I thought for sure they're going to drive down.
Exactly. That's it. So you're going to go 2-0. I'm going to cover because I think when I picked it, the spread was 4.5 for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And they ended up losing.
It ended up moving down to 3.5, but it didn't matter.
Which I was a little bit surprised by, but regardless, it's crunch time now. Let's get into the picks. It's my week to pick first. Pick.
Yep.
All right. I'll go no nonsense. I did some research for this spread. I've come prepared this week. The Chiefs opened up as 21.5 point favorites against the New York Jets. We talked earlier how we think Le'Veon Bell is going to get the ball all game and how he's going to dominate. But in NFL history, when teams are favored by more than 20 points, I think there's been 8 or 9 teams to be favored by more than 20. Only one of them have ever covered. So I really like my odds here. I'm going to take the Jets to cover. The spread is now 19.5, which makes it even easier for me. So that's the Jets plus 19.5.
I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest. I think I would just stay away from that game. But to be honest, I don't – just looking at the spreads this week, nothing jumps out at me that much.
I feel like we've said that for the past
– No. Last week, at least once a week – or one game a week. This week, actually, I just found it. Okay, yeah. So my first pick, very easy. The Raiders are plus 2.5 against the Browns. The Raiders are going to win.
That's on our topic. This is going to be a huge game going forward in the AFC wild card. Like, we're going to look back to this game and say, oh, if the Browns only had beaten the Raiders, they'd be in the playoffs or vice versa.
And both teams, this is why I love this so much, both teams, they're both kind of inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to get week to week. And last week, the Browns were good. And last week, the Raiders they didn't look great against the Buccaneers. So now it's going to flip.
You see the Browns were good. they squeaked one out.
Well, like, whatever. They won. And people are hyping up. And the Raiders are blown out. Exactly.
So I, you know what? I'm going to have to agree with you. The only thing I don't like about that is that the Raiders are going into Cleveland. But you know what? I think maybe I'm overvaluing the importance of home and away games.
Look at the Browns against the Steelers at home.
The Browns against the Steelers, they can play on Mars. The Steelers are winning by
50. I think it was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, I think
I messed that up. Yeah. I don't know.
Speaking of Pittsburgh, my second pick, Steelers Ravens, most anticipated game of the weekend. You could argue perhaps the Seahawks and 49ers, but for me, marquee matchup, Steelers and Ravens this weekend. It is in Baltimore. Baltimore is coming off a bye. That being said, it's hard for me to have any sort of confidence in Lamar Jackson and that passing game. He hasn't thrown for over 200, not 300, over 200 yards in three consecutive games. And that's playing against teams like the Eagles, teams like the Bengals. These are average to below average defenses. Now you're playing the best defense in the NFL. This team's a different animal.
The best run defense, too.
The best run defense, which is going to hurt the Ravens because that's their strength. Now you're asking them to pass the ball. The Steelers have great corners. They have great safeties. They're a team with no holes, virtually. I don't care that it's on the road. Did I even say what the spread was yet?
I don't believe so.
The Ravens are favored by -3.5, so I'm taking the Steelers +3.5. I got two teams that are not favored this week. Bring it on. That's all I'm saying.
I really like how it's 3.5, especially because it's like you think like if the Ravens do win, it's going to be close, and you could very see like, you know, Justin Tucker 50-yarder to win, and then but the Steelers will still cover. 2 minutes ago, I said I didn't like any games. I love this second game even more than the first game.
This is what happens when you look at all the scores during the podcast. I know you just refuse to look at them beforehand. Yeah,
no, it's in the moment. It's worked so far.
It has. Maybe I should copy your technique.
Take notes. Yeah, exactly. So my pick, I'm scanning the board right now.
Tell me you're picking the Lions plus.
No, I can't. Because I have to stay away.
You can't do that? Because you have so much stake in this.
Yeah, I have so much stock in the Lions winning that I can't lose my spread pick too.
If the Lions lose, you look like a fool because you picked them to go to the playoffs on this show.
Yeah.
They can't defeat you that badly by you dropping and especially when the race is so tight with me right on your heels, one game behind, you can't afford that.
All right, here we go. This is the pick of the week. Tennessee Titans -6 against the Bengals.
Another road game for you. Look at that.
Yeah, I know. Road two or not. No, I was supposed to say two road favorites, but no, two road teams. Titans are a road favorite. Excuse me. Lost that last game in Titans fashion, just missing a field goal. You know, could have forced overtime. Yeah. What are you going to do? I think, you know, what's crazy about that? He's perfect from 50 plus.
Yeah. It's
but he gets into the 40s. He loses his mind. Anyways, the Browns stink, and the Bengals, you know, it was close and they lost. Yeah. The Browns suck. They're making the playoffs, but they suck. Titans are upset. They lost. They should have forced overtime. Come into Cincinnati and just, they need a big win. Derrick Henry gets going again. Didn't have the greatest game against the Steelers. They win by 13.
That's it. You're confident in that? You're locking it in.
Lock it in. Win by 13. Give me the spread -12. No.
What if I pitched you? If you could take -12 and it counts as two wins.
No. Because Burrow could keep him close.
Especially if it gets into garbage time, and we all know he can throw the ball, much like Matt Stafford, who I compared his career to earlier in the episode. I think
interesting
that's
spread
it.
Though the Rams. That's interesting. That they're only -4. Does Vegas know something about Tua that we do not?
You think they should be favored by more?
Yeah,
on the road a short week. Against this Dolphins defense that in their past two weeks.
All right, whatever. Okay, they should be favored. All right, the Dolphins should be favored. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm not saying we should be favored, but I think the -4 is fair.
Fair? Okay. Fair enough.
Because I think Goff's been good this year, but he hasn't looked like Dan Marino or Tua Tagovailoa, if you will.
If you will, yeah.
But I think that's going to do it for today. Hopefully this week I can finally catch you. I thought last week when I saw the Bills the Bills weren't doing it for you, I thought I was going to cover. I thought I was going to catch you, excuse me. But it didn't happen, and we go again this week.
Here we go. I'm going to go perfect, though. My spreads can't lose. I'll probably go 0-2 because I said that.
Quick announcement before we wrap up the podcast. We are now on Instagram. At From The Nosebleeds Pod is the username. So if you would like to go follow that, that'd be very appreciated. And I think that's all. We will see you next Tuesday.
Have a good week, guys.